Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you through topics every single week and jabbing you through daily dose of UFC. And we are fresh off of another UFC event. UFC Vegas 106 went down this past Saturday, the 17th, I believe it was, May 17th, and it delivered. Let me tell you, for an Apex card, it truly delivered. We unfortunately did lose the co-main event of Rodolfo Bellotto and Paul Craig, but besides that, we got 11 good fights. I think we had 7-8 finishes. We had a lot of finishes. It was really satisfying. So we're going to go through on today's episode and break down each and every one of those fights. The event actually ended, I'd say, just about 2 to 3 hours ago. I kid you not. And it is 11 o'clock at night. In approximately, I will say, 17 hours, I will be on a flight. Actually, probably less than that. So we best get this going right off the bat. So without a doubt, let's dive right on into today's episode. And as always, you know, we have some surprise stuff today, but it's your run-of-the-mill episode here with us, as we're going to be looking at some new UFC fights to kick off today's episode. First off, we went over a bunch. Last time, we went over a lot of fights, but we have gotten some more interesting ones. We have 4 new fights to discuss with you guys here today. First off, UFC Baku going on June 21st in Azerbaijan has a new featherweight matchup as Muhammad Naimov back in action following his big win over, who was it, Jamie Malarkey? Landon Kionas, I think it was someone. He's 4-1 in the UFC, been on absolute tear. He takes on Bogdan Grodd. Bogdan Grodd won his UFC debut over Lucas Alexander in dominant knockout fashion. Bogdan Grodd 15-2, Muhammad Naimov 12-3. This is a fantastic matchup. Tajikistan versus Romania. I mean, this is exactly what the type of matchups I want to see on a UFC Azerbaijan card, because comedically enough, the main event is Jamal Hill versus Khalil Roundtree Jr., two American boys, the main event to a UFC Azerbaijan card. But hey, it is what it is. This one should be pretty good. I'm probably leaning Bogdan Grodd at the moment, but Muhammad Naimov, I'm not sleeping on him. He's been a champion in other promotions, so that should be a pretty good one. It's another welterweight matchup for you. This one, UFC 318, of course, in New Orleans. That is the Dustin Poirier retirement fight against Max Holloway, and we got some boys going at it. I guess this is just another matchup between two age welterweights who haven't fought yet. Neil Magny takes on Gunnar Nelson. Neil Magny, he's just been on just an odd lucky streak. He's had to take on Ian Gary, he's had to take on Michael Morales, he's had to take on Carlos Prates. They have just been feeding killer after killer after killer to Neil Magny, so it's about time he faces someone of his similar skill level in Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson was just absolutely put in shambles against Kevin Holland last time he fought him. It's like every time something was maybe going well for Gunnar, Kevin would just up him. And by the way, Kevin Holland got a 30-27 unanimous decision over Gunnar Nelson and got performance bonus. That's how much he was stunting on him. So absolutely love this matchup. Should probably be on the prelims of 318, which, by the way, is an excellent prelim matchup compared to what we usually get, because I think that UFC 318 card is going to be loaded. But let's say we have some fights fall out. This is a perfect card to have as the second or third fight on a main card. It doesn't bother me too much. I rock with this welterweight matchup between these two guys. UFC Vegas 109 has a matchup for you, women's flyweight action, as Gabriela Fernandez takes on Julija Storyalenko. And I have no idea how Julija is still in the UFC. She's 2-6. Submission wins over Molly McCann and Jessica Rose Clark, but six losses, absolutely brutal. She lost last time out, and she's taking on Gabriela Fernandez, who was 2-2 in the UFC and upset Wang Kong last time out. So she actually has a win over Yasmin Lucindo as well. So I'm probably going to back Gabriela Fernandez in this one pretty easily. UFC Vegas 109 goes down August 9th, and to my dismay, we open August with 2 straight Apex cards. Now, mind you, good main events in both of them, but still, this isn't the most enticing fight, and it'll probably open the card or be the second fight on the prelims. But here we are, the final matchup, which was made official 3 hours ago, UFC 316. That's right, our next pay-per-view, June 7th, has a bantamweight matchup between the number 10 ranked bantamweight, Mario Bautista, fresh off his win over Jose Aldo. He's on like a 7-fight win streak as he takes on the debuting the 20-1 Patchy Mix. And if you don't know about Patchy Mix, this is a guy who holds wins over Sergio Pettis, Magomed Magomedov, Kyoichi Horiguchi, Bellator champion, Bellator interim champion. He was in the PFL. I mean, this dude is an absolute killer. This is one of the best bantamweights on the planet. And the fact that we were able to have his presence grace with us in the UFC, it's insane. Kyoichi Horiguchi's coming over. We had Kai Sakura coming over. You've seen Michael Chandler come over. Patricio Pitbull's come over. All of these legends from around the globe coming to the UFC. You love to see it. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a massive Mario Bautista fan. I have been. You know, even when he fought Jose Aldo and everyone was hating on him, I was riding with Mario Bautista, but he's not winning this. Let me tell you, that would be a massive upset. I would give Mario Bautista a top five guy if he beats Patchy Mix, because Patchy Mix could probably step in there with your Peter Yans, Devin Figueiredo, Corey Sandhagens, and give them a run for their money. So, Patchy Mix all day. This is a fantastic fight. I believe it is, yeah, Marlon Vera that Patchy Mix is replacing. So, in my opinion, Mario Bautista got the bad end of the deal, but props to him for taking this fight, even because if that was him, I might have just waited, you know, kind of pushed it off. But, hey, props to him. So, those are all your new UFC fights that have been made official. Not too bad. Not too bad of fights. I mean, I kind of rock with them. I'm sure we're going to get some other big ones over the next week or so. But the summer's getting all booked up. It's always interesting to hear what few matchups they have remaining. I know we're probably waiting for some light heavyweight news. Light heavyweight division and the heavyweight division, our two big boy divisions, are pretty dead right now. I mean, flyweight, bantamweight, featherweight also needs some good matchups, I'll say. But other than that, you know, all the divisions are up and running. I'm excited to see where everyone goes. I'm also excited to tell you all where I think all of these fighters are going to go, because we're going to dive right on into our UFC Vegas 106 review, if you will, recap, as I really need to go to bed, because in about 7 hours, I'm going to get up and go for a 5 mile run, because I ate a bunch of crumble cookies and I definitely need to run all of that off. So let's start this right off the bat. I went 8-3. On predictions, so round of applause for me, round of applause. Oh, I wish I had my soundboard right now. I just had my own colorful mic, but I would have played the applause music there. But yeah, 8-3, we nail the main event prediction of a round one knockout for Michael Morales. I absolutely love that. We nailed a lot of predictions for this one. Let me go check it out real quick. I didn't even place in the top 50% on verdict. I have no idea why, but we nailed Michael Morales. I was going for a lot of finishes on the main card, but for the prelims, we nailed Hyung Sung Park in round one, Denise Gomez, a round two knockout, and a Luiana Santos round two submission. We nailed, who's the one new guy? Yader Deval, a finish in round number one, and we nailed our Gabe Green, big upset of the card. So, a lot of fun stuff to get into. Let's not delay. We kicked off the night, Tisha Pennington, Luiana Pinheiro. I would expect nothing less. I expected nothing less from this matchup, and it delivered me exactly as expected. And to make matters worse, Tisha Pennington freaking won. 29-28 across the board. Tolls from the fight, 63 sending finish strikes to 40 in favor of Tisha Pennington, 78 total strikes to 46. Luiana Pinheiro goes 5 of 10 on takedowns for just under 2 minutes, and Tisha Pennington goes 0 of 2. So Tisha takes round 1, Luiana takes round 2, and Tisha takes round 3. And round 3 was 5 takedowns with minimal control time compared to Tisha Pennington landing more strikes. So either way, both women kind of came out not looking the best out of this. Luiana Pinheiro is now on a 4-fight losing streak, so she's getting cut. She is absolutely getting cut, and if she doesn't get cut, then feed her someone from the Contender Series, because there really isn't anything left for Luiana Pinheiro here. She just lost another boring decision. Now, for Tisha Pennington in this one, 35, 2-fight winning streak. I mean, you're ranked 13. I'm not going to move her up in the rankings whatsoever, but I do think she deserves someone a tad above her, and I don't know if Lupi Godinez at 11 has an opponent. I don't know if Yasmin Lucindo at 8 has an opponent, but I say we give Tisha Pennington a shot. I mean, might as well. She's picked up a win here and just managed to do it somehow, but this is a boring fight. Of all the good fights we had on this card, this was easily the worst fight of the night. So I'm glad it opened the card. You know, I hate to be mean to these women, but just nothing went down in this. Nothing. Luiana Pinheiro landing takedowns was the most exciting thing. And even when it went to the scorecards, neither woman was confident. So Tisha Pennington still getting it done, still getting wins. Sucks we miss on the Luiana Pinheiro, but Tisha was a minus 375 favorite. So favorite as expected. That's just how it goes in the UFC. But following that, the action would just not stop. We managed to get 6 straight finishes, and it started off with Hyung Sung Park and Carlos Hernandez. It only took Hyung Sung Park 2.5 minutes. Did exactly what he needed to. Gets his 9th career finish out of his 10 career wins and gets his 5th submission. Very simple as that. Took down Carlos Hernandez, I'll say about just before the 2-minute mark, and was able to take back position, lock in a rear naked choke, and it was night-night. Hyung Sung Park remains undefeated at 10-0. The undefeated curse not striking tonight. No. The undefeated curse was not striking tonight. Hyung Sung Park is now 3-0 officially, and the UFC all finishes. Imagine that, 90% finish rate and 10 wins. Good stuff for Yongsung Park, and I absolutely love that, especially in the men's flyweight division. We're always looking for killers to move up, and at 29 years old, you know what? He might as well be ready for a ranked opponent in my mind. I mean, we got Kai Sakura at 15. He needs to get a fight booked. Joshua Van at 14. Ramazan Temeriev at 13. Got a lot of guys in the bottom there. I'm always down to mix them in. Yongsung Park still might need one more win. You know, I know Andre Lima has a fight coming up this summer. Charles Johnson's always a name I love to throw around, but good stuff for Yongsung Park, and just as I expected, he outclassed Carlos Hernandez in this one. Carlos, you know, only coming off of one loss, but he is 1-3 in his last four. His entire UFC tenure has amounted to a 3-4 record, so there isn't really much to love from Carlos Hernandez here. This is now the third time of his five losses he's been finished, and it's just, I mean, he really was taken down, and his back was taken, simple as that. He's also getting outstruck on the feet, just clearly not level with a lot of the other guys in the UFC. So, I know there's going to be guys coming up, like someone like Andre Lima, you know, when you could have Yongsung Park take on an up-and-comer. You could have Andre Lima, who has a fight coming up this summer, take on him, you know, someone like that. There's always bounce-back fights for, I don't know, someone like if Nate Mannes were to come back to the UFC, I don't really know. It's hard to give Carlos Hernandez anything. He's fairly unknown, so might be cutting Carlos Hernandez. I don't think anyone's going to object to that, but really, this was a great performance for Yongsung Park, and I nailed it, and I wasn't surprised, and it made me happy. And I thought he was going to get a performance bonus, and then we get into our third matchup of the night, Denise Gomez, Elise Reed. And I'll tell you, when Denise Gomez shows up, she's one of the most entertaining women on the planet, as she gets yet another knockout. She's actually out tied for second most knockouts in the women's strawweight division, as she absolutely murders Elise Reed. I kid you not, she absolutely murdered Elise Reed. If I'm being honest, Luian Panero just suffered a defeat. I would love to see Denise Gomez move into the rankings at number 15. But, I mean, tail of the tape, 28 significant strikes to 11, 3 of 3 on takedowns. She just absolutely gutted Elise Reed in this one. Elise Reed has now been finished in all of her defeats. You may be like, oh, Zach, she doesn't have that many defeats. Well, she has 5 defeats. So, Elise Reed probably going bye-bye. Gonna be honest, that's probably it for Elise Reed in the UFC. If anything, her versus Luian Panero could be an option. If they don't want to give Denise Gomez ranked opponent, they could feed her to Luian Panero to give her another good name. But, I mean, if I'm being honest, give Denise Gomez the number 15 spot in the women's strawweight rankings, and heck, she could even take on Tisha Pennington. She could take on Loma Lokbumi. She could take on Angela Hill, Luby Godinez, Jillian Robertson. She could take on anyone, for goodness sakes, and I am riding with her. But, guys, this finishing sequence, 30 seconds in the round two, I mean, it was violent. I thought Elise Reed at least went out like 3 to 4 times. And I mean, it was getting to a point where it's like, ref, step in. She's getting messed up very, very badly. But minus almost 600 favorite at one point this week, Denise Gomez, absolute massacre. Of course, she gets a performance bonus. Of course, she absolutely does. And phenomenal work for her. Absolutely happy to see Denise Gomez. You're an absolute stud. And this is why I tell you, you know, we don't have to hate on all the women's fights. Because when we get someone like Elise Reed and someone like Denise Gomez, where it's clear that Denise Gomez is miles better, she can do what she needs to do to get it done. I mean, third career knockout in the UFC. Amazing work. Moving on from there. After that, Luiana Santos and Tanera Liz Boa. I was so happy to see Luiana Santos win. Big fan of her. She gets her 5th career submission, 6th career finish, and she improves to 9-2. And by the way, she's 4-1 in the UFC. Only losses to Casey O'Neill. And you know what? Great win for her here. 15 significant strikes to 6. She goes 2 of 2 on takedowns. And in a fight that lasted 9 minutes and 59 seconds, she had 8 minutes of control time. So this was just Leon Santos using her grappling, using her control time, and just dominating Tanera Lisbo. And Tanera, I mean, there's just a little to be loved here. A little to be loved. She's going to go be 2-1 in the UFC now. This is going to be the second career time, and she's been finished by submission. This was just, you know, an outclassing by Luiana Santos. And with a key lock, I believe it is the first woman's key lock finish in UFC history from top position. So amazing work for her. She's making history. This was a big night for the women that decided to actually capitalize it in Luiana Santos and Denise Gomez. Because women's bantamweight division, We're always looking for women to make the jump. And with that, you know, she's going to be getting Chelsea Chandler. She's going to be getting Misha Tate, Nora Cannoli, Jacqueline Cavalcante, Kara Rosa. She's going to get a bottom 15 opponent next. I can almost guarantee it. She's got the personality, the look, and she's getting finishes. She's getting freaking finishes. I absolutely love to see it. Liliana Santos just ragdolls Tanera Lisboa. And as for Tanera, I mean, she could stay, she could go. It doesn't really matter to me, if I'm being honest. Maybe if Aspen Ladd wants to come back to the UFC, she could take out Tanera Lisboa. I doubt that'll happen. But dominant win for Liliana Santos, gets the submission victory, and it kept the finish streak going, which was beautiful to see. After that, how about yet another finish? This one in under 3 minutes as Yadier Delvalle takes it to Conor Matthews, gets him out of there. Third career submission for Yadier. And yeah, that's going to be it for Conor Matthews. I do kind of feel bad. You know, the kid worked his way after losing his first Dana White's Contender Series fight, manages to win his second, but 0-3 in the UFC, finished in all of them, finished in his last two in round one. That'll do it for Conor Matthews. So I would be honest, out of the first five prelim fights of the night, I could confidently say all the losers may be cut. I'd say three of them I would guarantee will be cut. Tough luck there. But as for Yadier Delvalle, I mean, 9-0, he survives the undefeated curse, and at minus 600 favorite, I mean, he's getting it done too. It was phenomenal to see, and I'm excited to see what he does next in the men's featherweight division. I mean, I'd love to just matchmake him with someone we're going to bring up in a second, Julian Arosa, but this is just great work all around for Yadier Delvalle. And funny thing enough is, just like Youngson Park, he takes him down, he takes the back, gets the rear naked choke. It's as simple as that. Such a simple game plan. He looked dominant doing it. He really did look dominant doing it. And mind you, this was a 2-minute, 54-second fight, minute and a half of control time. So immediately takes him down, gets the back, does what he needs to do best. I mean, there's just not much to break down here. The technicality of Yadier Delvalle was on point. He's got a fun name. I mean, he's the Cuban problem. And hell yeah, 28 years old, keep him in the UFC. And yeah, I think Julian Arosa could be a good first opponent for him if he were to be matchmaking with someone on this card. Following that, I mean, we had our second to last prelim, and this one shocked me. I can't lie, I was really surprised by this. As Jared Gordon puts Thiago Moises lights out in round number one. I mean, what? Are you freaking kidding me? I was actually so shocked by this. I was so shocked by this. I feel like Thiago Moises had so much potential in the UFC and just for some reason could never capitalize on this. But Jared Gordon, nonetheless, by the way, the fight lasted 3 minutes, 37 seconds. Jared Gordon lands a takedown like right off the bat, gets 2 minutes, 36 seconds of control time. I'm like, Thiago, are you going to throw up a arm triangle? Are you going to throw up a triangle choke, a little arm bar? But nonetheless, didn't do anything, gets to the feet. It takes 7 significant strikes on the feet. And he clips him with the hook, goes down to the ground, lands a couple follow-up punches, didn't take much. And that was that. Jared Gordon getting it done now. And make that his 8th career knockout. 36 years old, knocked out the 30-year-old Thiago Moises, and back in the win column. And you know, that's right now, when I look at Jared Gordon and just the path he's been on, the Grant Dawson defeat in 2022. That one was a pure loss. That one was just Grant Dawson outworking him. But before that, 3 straight wins. I mean, we're now in 2019. His losses to Charles Oliveira. And now let's move into 2022. December, that's when the Paddy Pimblett bad decision happened. He then returned in April. King Green, or Bobby Green, as we better call it, headbutted him. He would then knock out Mark Madsen, have a split decision where a lot of people thought he beat Nasrat last summer. And now he's been talking about Seth. Maybe I was sleeping on Jared Gordon, but great win for the guy. Great win for him. And I'd love to see him back this summer. I don't think he'd make a turnaround unless there's a pullout for a lightweight fight in New Jersey. But we always go to Madison Square Garden in November unless he wants to fight in the summer. I would love to see Jared Gordon back this year. You know, it's lightweight's a very broad division. I'll say it's very tough to take on people. You know, I could easily matchmake him with the man we're about to talk about, Gabe Green. I can matchmake him with Myron Santos. I mean, even Sadiq Youssef could be an option there. I kind of like the Sadiq Youssef fight, but great stuff. Great stuff for Jared Gordon. As for Thiago Moises, I don't know what to do now, man. I don't know what to do now. 9 losses, 4 of them he's been finished in. He's gone win-loss since 2023. I mean, this is tough. This is a tough spot career-wise for Thiago Moises. I think it's going to be make or break. You know, if anything, Sadiq Youssef versus Thiago Moises is a more appealing fight. Both guys who are in desperate need of a win to remain in the company. But I hope they don't cut Thiago Moises. Nonetheless, I wouldn't be surprised. if they did. A little bit disrespectful not giving Jared Gordon a performance bonus. They've been only giving out two in a fight of the night, if a fight of the night. So would love to see more performance bonuses given out, but I mean, nonetheless, Jared Gordon knows that we all support him and are rooting for him, so that has to count for something, right, Jared Gordon? It really does. Following that, we got into our final prelim of the evening. Gabe Green, Matthias Camilo, and Gabe Green came in at plus 175, and yeah, he gets it done, gets the submission win, and this one was tricky. This was tricky. Round two submission for Gabe Green, and round one didn't go Gabe's way. No. Matthias Camilo, 1 of 2 on takedowns, outstruck him 12-7 significantly, 30-17 overall, was pretty much getting the better of him. In every exchange, the younger man by 8 years, Matthias Camilo, on his 6-fight win streak, looking dominant, and then round two comes around, he lands a takedown, and it is ill-advised, and he gets his back taken, and Gabe Green is able to lock up a rear naked chokehold and gets it done. And you know, I can't believe we called the submission as well. Can't believe we called the submission. 7th career submission for Gabe Green. Make it 11 finishes and 12 wins. And for a guy that at one point was 2-3 in the UFC, he's now 3-3. And he's looking up. And, you know, I'd love to matchmake him with someone on here. You know, like I said, Jared Gordon, Thiago Moises. But I don't know. There's going to be other options out there for Gabe Green. I'm happy that his move down to lightweight has started off with a finish. Fantastic, toothy. And as for Matthias Camilo, I mean, look, you're 24 years old. You'll be back. I think he should fight someone coming off of Daniel Quintero's series, coming off the Ultimate Fighter, if they do have lightweight fighters from this upcoming season. I just think that this might have been too big a step, even though Gabe Green isn't that big of a step. But look at that, boys. On the prelims, we had 7 prelims, and out of them, 6 beautiful finishes. 5-2 on the prelims, not too bad if you ask me. When it comes to predictions, I was pretty happy. With that, we got right into the main card. Marcos Acosta, Julian DeRossi, you know, I was thinking this had potential to be fight of the night. I really was, but the fact that it delivered on such a scale, more than happy. Marcos Acosta gets the unanimous decision. 29-28 across the board as him and Julian DeRossi give us one of the best fights of the year. Easily one of the best fights of the year. Totals from the fight, 102 significant strikes to 69 in favor of Marcos Acosta, 128 total strikes to 85 in favor of Marcos Acosta. Marcos Acosta landing 50% of his significant strikes. Insane. 3 of 10 on takedowns for Julian DeRossi, 3.5 minutes control time. 2 of 3 for Marcos for 23 seconds, and he had one submission attempt in the second. But Marcos took round 1, round 2, and round 3 was pretty close. I think I honestly might have had it 30-27, Marcos Acosta, but I might be a bit biased. However, just back and forth war, bloody punching, takedowns, was getting sloppy at times. That's what you love to see. And, you know, for Julian DeRossi, it sucks. It really does. But this belongs to Marcos Acosta. 4-fight winning streak, 3-0. 3-0 in 2025. We're not even close to the halfway point. I mean, we're close, but the fact it's May 17th, he already has 3 wins in 2025. I mean, this guy could easily get 6 fights. This guy could easily get 6 fights. And, you know, I'm going to say it right now. I'm yet to see anyone defend their belt twice. I've yet to really see a memorable championship performance. I'm going to say, as of right now, Marcos Acosta is my fighter of the year. And he's not going to get that national recognition, but to be 3-0 to pick up wins over Andre Fili, Christian Rodriguez, and Julian DeRossi, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give him that respect. And I also do want to add, his first fight was February 22nd. His first fight was February 22nd. So, in fact, 3 wins in under 3 months. Yeah. Yeah, that's how freaking on point Marcos Acosta has been this year. And it's tough to matchmake him next. Like I said, you got Yair Vidal down there. I don't think that's an option. I do think Yair Vidal versus Julian DeRossi could be a very well option, but I think they're probably going to matchmake these guys somewhere else. But Marcos Acosta, if you do want to give him a ranked opponent, Calvin Kattar's right there at 15. I know you have someone like Giga Chikadze right outside of the rankings. He's someone. I'm thinking maybe a Melsik Bagdasarian. If you want to move down to featherweight, you got your Alex Caceres. You've got a number of options. Bryce Mitchell, even. You know, I think Bryce Mitchell could be a great test for Marcos Acosta. Both grapplers. Both, you know, I think Marcos Acosta, I give the striking edge after watching him in this performance. But big things ahead for Marcos Acosta. Very happy for him. And 28 years old, lots of promise. For Julian, 35, you know, I wouldn't let this knock him too much. I think he'll get someone, but it'll be tough to say. I really like Julian DeRossi versus, I would say, probably Giga Chikadze. I don't know if you can make that for UFC Baku with the damage he just took, but potential. And then Bryce Mitchell versus Marcus Acosta. I really like that matchup. Following that, guys, middleweight action, Nursultan Uzumbayev and Dustin Sulphus. And this is where the card kind of took a halt. You know, we had this great streak of all these finishes, then a fight of the night. And then, you know, Nursultan Uzumbayev and Dustin Sulphus, it wasn't boring. You know, it's not going to be a boring three-round decision, but it was just kind of everything we expected just wasn't happening. Nursultan Uzumbayev wins the decision, 35 and even strikes to 21, 53 total strikes to 41, 1 of 2 on takedowns. He gets 3 minutes, 21 seconds for Dustin, 2 of 5 on takedowns, 5 minutes of control time, and threw up 2 submissions. But, you know, Nursultan won it on the feet in rounds 1 and 2. Dustin took round 3, in my opinion. Dustin only landing 2 significant strikes in round number 2. That's not going to get it done. So this was honestly really humbling, I'd say, of a performance for Nursultan Uzumbayev here. Dustin clearly at a size disadvantage, managing to get past it. And as for Nursultan, you know, here's a guy who's coming in with a 33 and 35 finish to win rate. It is, we were expecting a lot more from him, but 2-fight win streak now. He's 4-1 in the UFC. He'll remain a player. He'll remain a player in the UFC. You know, he was booked to fight Renat Fakhretdinov. I say we still make that fight. I think that's a fight you can easily make. I'd even throw him at a little Nicholas Dalby action or someone like that. We'll have to see. Maybe even the winner of Neil Magny, Gunnar Nelson for Nursultan Uzumbayev. Lots of options. For Dustin Sulphus, I mean, it's been win-loss with loss since 2022. You know, in fact, in the UFC, he is sitting with a 3-6 record. I would be surprised if he gets cut. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he gets cut, but there will always be middleweights to fight. How about Edmund Shahbazyan versus Dustin Sulphus? There's a fun little fight you can make if Edmund's still kicking it around. But, you know, kind of a dampener on the night. Was really expecting one of these guys to get the finish. I mean, they both had opportunities. Nursultan clearly on the feet, Dustin clearly on the ground. Just didn't really gel well together. So it happened. It's over. We correctly predicted Nursultan. That's what I'm happy about. And honestly, when we were reading the judges' scorecards, I was a little surprised. I got a little 30-27 for Nursultan. But hey, you know what? I ain't going to complain. I correctly predicted it. After that, what soon became our co-main event, Myron Santos, Sonny Kusev, as Adolfo Bellotto did pull out last second with a medical issue, which really sucks because him versus Paul Craig, I feel, would have really lit this crowd up. But, I mean, even though it was at the Apex, I think it just really would have been a good fight whenever it happened. So I do hope that can get rebooked within the next month or so. We'll have to see. But Myron Santos, Sodiq Yusuf, I mean, boring. Just boring. And, you know, 30-27 for Myron Santos on 2 judges' scorecards. Eric Colon throws Sodiq a bone with a 29-28. But Sodiq outstruck him in round 1, 19-9. Yet it was just like power was just going with Myron Santos. Round 2, Myron outlands him 16-10. Round 3, Myron outlands him 15-7. Sodiq goes 1 of 3 on takedowns for 2 minutes of control time. You also see about 2 minutes of control time for Myron up against the fence. I mean, the other these guys left me a little to be desired with, and I was honestly a bit surprised. You know, Myron Santos now, he's going to be 3-0 in the UFC, 17-0. Good stuff. Really need that in the lightweight division to get some positive momentum. But for Sodiq Yusuf, it's just, man, this kid had so much potential, and, you know, now he's not a kid. Now he's 31. You know, now he's 13-5, 3-fight losing streak, 2-4 in his last 6. I think he's got about 1 more fight that he has to win, or else he's going to get cut, or they might even just cut him right now. I'm going to be honest, but Myron Santos giving the Ultimate Fighter a good rep. You know, I don't think he won it, but he was one of the fights. He was the Andre Petroski of his season. Andre Petroski didn't make the championship, but has came out looking just as good after not being in a winner's matchup. So Myron Santos beats Sodiq. I mean, 40 significant strikes at 36. At the end of the day, that's it. Just a 3-round decision. It's just, it is what it is. It is what it is. There's little I can say about this except that it happened. It was okay. It wasn't the worst fight I've ever seen. Yeah, it was better than Tisha Pennington and Louis Apanero. I'll tell you that. But, following those two kind of dull decisions, guys, we got to the main event. And yet another instance where it's like, I predict Morales is going to knock out Gilbert Burns in round 1. And just seeing it happen is just so exciting, so weird. It's just not something you expect. And this changing of the guard at welterweight has just happened so drastically. I mean, I was thinking about picking Kamaru Usman to beat Joaquin Buckley, and after watching this, I'm pretty much probably going to switch my pick to Joaquin Buckley. But Michael Morales, performance bonus, as he just destroys Gilbert Burns, just utterly destroys Gilbert Burns. 33 significant strikes to 5, drops him twice Gilbert Burns landed one takedown on two attempts, and literally, Michael Morales got up right away. Literally, Gilbert Burns had his back, and Morales just gets right up with him holding on to his back. Just domination. No wonder he was almost a minus 1,000 favorite. This guy's insane. 13th career knockout, 14th career finish, and he's 18-0. 18-0, the undefeated curse, going 0-3 on this card. I love to see it. Fight starts out, you know, these two are striking at each other. Morales landed a big shot. Burns would come back more with a little bit, and then Burns would shoot for a takedown. Great stuff from Morales. Then Morales started piecing him up, drops him. Burns is able to get back up, land a takedown. Like I said, Morales, with him on his back, gets back up, and then he just starts putting down Burns. Burns is covering up. You could clearly tell that Morales' shots are hurting him. Down he goes, some ground and pound for the second straight time, and the ref was like, there's no more of this. Get off of him. And Morales, the 13 years younger than Gilbert Burns, making it look like that. Impressive, impressive work from Michael Morales. And make that, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? I believe 6-0? 6-0 or 7-0 in the UFC. Two straight knockouts in round one, two straight performance bonuses. Michael Morales is an absolute stud, and he's going to be ranked number 8 to come the rankings update. This is absolutely insane. This is absolutely insane. So we have had the most insane change in the guard. Technically, this is kind of weird. Bilal Muhammad is technically of the new age, but he's kind of age-wise grouped with the old age. So you have Bilal Muhammad, Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns, Colby Covington, Wonderboy Thompson. They all kind of defined this generation. Now we have a new champion, Jack Del Malina, Sean Brady, Shavkat Rachmanov, Ian Garry, Joaquin Buckley, and now Michael Morales. And by the way, I'm pretty sure Michael's the youngest out of all these guys at 25, and he is looking impressive as ever. It was really great to see. I will say for Gilbert Burns, fourth career loss by knockout. This is really tough for him. Really tough. Four straight defeats, and he's been knocked out in two of them. So, Gilbert Burns, I honestly want him to retire. I don't know if I could give him a retirement fight of some regard. You know, he's going to be bumped down probably to 9, Covington to 10, Jeff Neal to 11, Wonderboy Thompson to 12. And I don't really know what you do next with Burns. I don't know if him and Prates are on good terms. Maybe MVP versus Gilbert Burns, but I don't know. Gilbert Burns and Colby Covington would make sense from a position of both these guys are on losing streaks. Both these guys deserve a win, and it's been a fantasy fight, but I just don't think the UFC is going to go with that. I think they're going to feed him to someone like Carlos Prates or MVP, and it's just going to be unfortunate to see. But the big question is, who does Michael Morales take on? And that question is a bit trickier. So he just had the most impressive performance we've seen against Gilbert Burns. Easily the most impressive performance we've seen against Gilbert Burns. Now we can bring up Jack Del Malina and his comeback. Yeah, but Jack Del Malina was down two rounds on every judge's scorecard. We can bring up Sean Brady, who never came close to finishing him through five straight rounds. Bilal Muhammad never even came close to finishing Gilbert Burns. Now, Khamzat Chimaev could even finish Gilbert Burns. Now, mind you, that was 3 years ago. This is a much more aged, much more weathered Gilbert Burns. And I will say, nonetheless, still an impressive performance from Michael Morales. So, Michael, in at number 8, you got the number 7 Buckley and the number Usman fighting. I hear they're trying to run maybe Ian Garry versus Sean Brady, which, honestly, guys, I'm leading to believe we might get Leon Edwards versus Michael Morales at this point. So, if I'm going to do some matchmaking, Jack Del Malina is taking on Islam Makhachev. Sean Brady is going to be taking on Ian Garry. Shavkat's going to have to fight Bilal. Usman's taking on Buckley, which leaves Leon Edwards versus Michael Morales. And that's just what you're going to do. So I think that's the route you take. I think that's the route you go. And that's what you're going to get. But UFC Vegas 106, you know, when I look back through the year and we're going to rank all these, this is going to be one of the better events. And honestly, when I'm thinking of all my Apex cards, these Apex cards have not been bad in the slightest. I mean, you know, UFC Vegas 101 might have been a bit dull, 102, but I mean, you know, Cannon Rodriguez, that was a good card. Cape Alababaya, that was a good one. Vittorio Dolidze, that was a dull one. Emmett Murphy was just kind of average, but this one, really good, really exciting. Overall, round out the card, pretty freaking good. So, 8 out of 10 for me, and that's coming from an Apex card. Happy to see what's next for all of these fighters. But 8-3 on predictions. I'm now 137-69. We are almost plus 70. We are so freaking close to being plus 70. It is right there. We're about to jump into the plus 70 on picks for the year. This is our best year by far, and it ain't stopping anytime soon. Now, though, we actually have Labor Day off, and, you know, it works for me because I won't be able, actually, to cover the card. I actually don't know when this episode's going to be hitting your ears, but it was recorded right after the event ended, which I kind of like more. You know, sometimes I'm able to sit with the event for a day or 2 days, but recording it right after, it kind of sucks late at night, but still, it's fresh in my mind. I'm able to give my thoughts right off the bat. It's pretty good. So the one news where I will say June is going to be a 10 out of 10 month for UFC. We are going to have to deal with the end of May. So end of May, UFC Vegas 107, now that I know it correctly, Erin Blanchfield, Macy Barber, which I think was actually a pretty good women's main event. And it's probably going to be the not next in line because Natalia Silva's next in line to face Valentina Shevchenko, unless it's Zhang Weili, as we keep bringing up, but probably second in line behind Natalia Silva. So Erin Blanchfield, Macy Barber, two of my favorite women flyweights, so it is going to suck that one of them has to lose. But also on this card, Matheus Gamrot, Ludwig Klein. Insane they're giving Ludwig Klein a shot at a top 10 guy in Matheus Gamrot. And, you know, he's on a 4-fight winning streak, but mind you, that's decision wins against Thiago Moises, Ignacio Bahomedes, Roosevelt Roberts, and a knockout of AJ Cunningham. Now, mind you, I'm pretty sure two of those guys aren't even in the UFC. I'm pretty sure. So I think that you're going to see a dominant performance from Matheus Gamrot. You also do get the welterweight debut of Seokin Ko, also known as the Korean Tyson, as he takes on Billy Ray Goff, I'm excited for. Dustin Jacoby back in action. Zachary Reese back in action. Rafael Filho back in action. Calvin Vieira, Maisie Chaisson is actually a top 5 women's bantamweight matchup. It's like the 4th fight of the card. Ramiz Brahimaj and Oman Elliott, that's actually a fantastic fight. And then you get some other names, Marquel Medeiros, Jordan Leavitt, Dusko Todorovic, names you'd recognize. It's nothing too exciting, but let me just tell you about June real quick before I let you all go. I mean, we kick things off UFC 316, then UFC Atlanta, then UFC Azerbaijan, then UFC 317. Okay, Topuria versus Oliveira International Fight Week. So June is going to bless us so much, and I'm so excited to see what the future brings for all of us, honestly. It's going to be a bright future. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. But that's all I got for you on today's episode. Pretty round the mill. Just covering UFC Vegas 106. I don't know whether you're going to hear this, but nonetheless, I just want you all to know that no matter what struggles you deal with in life, they can always be overcome, and you can always reach new heights in your life. Never settle for average, never settle for mediocre. Once you start to settle for one thing, it starts to seep into other parts of your life. So continue to grow, continue to elevate, and just like this podcast, we're going to take it to new heights. I'm telling you that. I just need to start recording myself. I'll work that out eventually, ladies and gentlemen. But with that, I bid you all to do live the best life possible. And how about Michael Morales, guys? And he ain't no Spider-Man. This is the he doesn't have a nickname. How about the Ecuadorian assassin, the Ecuadorian equalizer, Michael Morales? Hey, Michael, hit me up. Come on the podcast. Guys, I love you all. Have an amazing day. And as always, I'll catch you back next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.